for the next couple of weeks, and actually there's like 2 weeks, and then we're going to do some other stuff. But I've got a sermon series that I want to start, and it's going to be kind of sprinkled in and amongst some other sermons. So it's not going to be really a sermon series per se. And Tim's loving this because he's like, how am I going to put that on the internet? Because we got all these songs, you know, but that's okay. He'll figure it out. But what I wanted to bring up here today is some books that I've been reading since last year over and over again, that this sermon has been inspired by, not only, you know, obviously scripture, but I like to listen to other people and what they have to say. And the whole idea, I got a phone call last year on the way to Austin, which I'll be coming up, going to Austin in about a month or so for the sermon seminar. And one of my spiritual mentors, Miss Christiana Horn, called me, and that's right, I have a woman mentor. That's okay, right, Steve? That's fine. Okay. And she called me. She was reading this book. It's The Christian Atheist. And if you think about it, that's what do you mean a Christian atheist? Those terms are, you know, diametrically opposed. But then it's believing in God, but living as though He doesn't exist. And so she was just saying, Shane, you got to read this. And she was going through the chapters, and so I bought it and read it a couple times. So if you want to read this book, you can go buy one. You can't have this one because I'm still using it, by Craig Groeschel. But The Christian Atheist is part of where this is coming from. Let's see, Radical. There's a lot of what we're going to be talking about that we've already covered in Radical, but I had to skip over some of it, by David Platt. Also, Not a Fan. Guys, does this look familiar? You know, a lot of the concepts in the next couple of weeks are going to come by that. Also, I love Malcolm Gladwell, What the Dog Saw. This is a great book that I've read, and some of the principles that, and Have a New Kid by Friday. No, that's just a prayer that I have, but I don't know how that got in there. But anyway, but those are some of the books that, you know, that I've been reading, you know, among many others. But so if you want to kind of, I guess my prayer and my dream is that when people leave here, not everybody, because I know that it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be everyone, but my dream is that when we leave here on Sunday mornings, there was something that was said that sparks an interest, that thing, man, I want more of that. What Shane said was, that was really good, but I want more of that. And one of the things that we talked about this morning with the teens is that I can't take a whole lot of credit for anything that I say up here. And April's pointed out that I forget a lot of it, because she says, oh, I was quoting you to one of my students. And I said, oh, really? What'd you say? And she tells me something. I go, I said that. She goes, yeah, it was in your sermon. And I believe with all of my heart that God speaks a word to you every week. And I can't take credit for that, because all I try to do is all week long, just, God, tell me something to say. Because if I say something, it will come out ridiculous. But if you say something, it'll be smart and it'll be charming and people will love it and it'll change their lives. And so whenever you think, oh, that was a great sermon, I'm really honest when I say, well, you know, God is good, because if He can use me. And He tells Job, who gave you your mouth? He did. He gave me my mouth. And so I believe it is He that puts the words in it. And so, you know, as we go through this, I want you to know that I'm not, you know, a lot of what I say isn't original to me. I read it from a lot of different books, and especially the Bible. And then some of it is God just says, hey, say this. And I say it, and it was good. And He said, there you go. You're not smart. I am. You just do what you're told. But this idea, what I want to get into is this idea of believing in God, but living as though He doesn't exist. So what I was saying is that my goal is that I want people to want more. And, you know, so we can read scripture. There's a lot of great books that other smarter people than me have written. And if you want to get more of that, read some of them. And, you know, so I just wanted to bring these up, so maybe some authors or some titles would stick in your head and you can go read them. And you say, oh, yeah, okay, I see. I remember Shane saying that. He isn't that smart. He did get that from someone else. But because I want you to want more. I want you to want to dig more into this and to grow and to become more and more like Christ. But this word believe, you know, it's in John 3:16, is something that we can quote, and we talked about this on Wednesday night with the men, is that You know, we quote verses like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, or his only begotten son, that anyone who believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. And we'll make placards of that and hold it up in the end zone of football games and field goals. And, oh, John 3:16, and everybody knows that one. And that's a great verse. And so many people tragically live their life by that verse and that verse only, and they say, well, I believe in God. Isn't that enough? But as we talked about on Wednesday night, there's verses like Luke 9 and 23 that says, if anyone would come after me, he must first deny himself, pick up a cross, and follow me. Ever seen that in an end zone? Ever seen that one waved around at a football game? Not so much. Because, see, belief is... belief is not enough. And so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about this, about how does our belief affect our life, and how do we know that we know God versus just believing in God? I mean, that's the question. Do you know God, or do you just believe in him? I mean, that's the thing, is that do you know God, or do you simply believe in him? Now, I understand what John 3:16 says. I understand that John 3:16 says that if anyone would believe in him, he would not perish but have eternal life. But you see, the last time I looked, the Bible's a pretty thick book, and there's a whole lot more to it than one verse. And there's, you know, there's these layers, and there's these ideas and precepts and concepts and philosophies and all this other stuff in there that really take this word believe and unpack it so that we can see all of the reality that is that's rolled up and stuffed into this believe. And just having the intellectual assent that he is real isn't what he's talking about. There's more to it. So the question, do you know God or just believe in him? So what I want to do is talk about this concept, believing versus knowing. Because I would not be doing my job as a lover of Christ and a lover of his church if I didn't challenge us to look at it deeper than we might look at it now. And you might say, but Shane, I know God. I'm a good person. Well, a lot of people believe in God and are good people, but that doesn't mean that they know God. You say, well, but Shane, I read Scripture. Well, there's a lot of people that believe in God and are good people and read Scripture, but don't really know God. But Shane, I pray and I read Scripture and I believe in God and I'm a good person. And I would say, well, okay, let me just give you a word that will maybe end this argument. There was this group of people called the Pharisees, and they didn't know God either, and they could say the very same thing. All of Jesus's sermons were preached against people. I mean, you've heard me preach a lot of sermons, and maybe I've preached at you before, preached to you. But have you ever known me to preach against you? I mean, just to preach, you know. But all of Jesus' sermons were preached against people who would say, you know, I'm a good person, I pray, I read the Scripture, I believe in God. I mean, so there's more to it. The question is, do we know God? Believing versus knowing. As we unpack this concept, one of the things I want to do is, the first thing I want to look at is not knowing God at all. First thing is, what does it look like to not know God at all? You know, there's, you know, people that believe and they don't know God at all. In James chapter 2, there's this idea that belief is not enough to bring us into a relationship with God. In James, if you're writing it down, James chapter 2 in verse 19, it says that, you know, faith without works is dead. And he goes on to say that, he goes, because even, you know, he says, some people will say, I believe in God. And I say, good, even demons believe, and it scares them. You know why it scares them? Because they at least know there's no chance of a relationship with God. In James chapter 2, in verse 19, it says, it simply says, belief in God is not really the goal, because there are demons that know God is real but have no relationship with Him, and they even know that they're smart enough to be scared. So not knowing God at all, that's one thing. We can believe but have no relationship with God, no depth with God. So not knowing God at all. Then there's this belief that's not knowing God very well. You know, we can believe in God and we can know God, but not know Him very well. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, and that's, you know, Paul is dealing with some Galatians who came to know God. Now, not only did they believe in God, but they came to know God. And in Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 8 and following, he's saying, look, you guys know God. You've come to know Him. He said, you know, that you used to not know Him, and now you know Him. But you don't know Him that well, because you're starting to get caught back up in this life of this legalistic, rule-keeping, saved by the law, not by God's grace kind of thing. But there's this reality that you can know God and have a little knowledge of Him, but not know Him that well. And it's not the whole picture. And what Paul does is he warns the Galatians about that. He warns them. He says, look, guys, there's more to it. That don't settle for knowing God, sort of. Don't settle for not knowing Him well. Your belief and knowing some about Him isn't the goal. Because what happens is that if we don't know Him well, we start making up this reality of God that's not true. And if we live our life based on a lie about God, it's living our life not based on God at all. And then there's believing in God and knowing God intimately. 1 John talks about this. In 1 John 2, he says, look, we know that we know God because we obey Him. We keep His commandments. You know, in Psalm 63, David talks about knowing God intimately. You know what David says about God in Psalm 63? Is that he says, oh God, You are my God. If you got a pen or a pencil or something, write that down. Oh God, You are my God. I'll give you a second to do that. We're going to do a little exercise. This is spontaneous. Hope this works. Oh God, You are my God. Now I want you to circle one word in that phrase. I want you to circle the word my. You're not someone else's God. You're not this far off, arbitrary, aloof, withdrawn God. God, You are my God. You're mine. Now, David had this reality of God. He had this understanding, this knowledge of this relationship with God that was unlike anything that you read about in Scripture. And it isn't to set him apart. We read about this, David's life with God and his decisions with God and the experiences he's had. And it's unlike anything that you really read about. And it's not so that he can be lifted up and said, oh my goodness, look at David. He's so much better and greater. Da, 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 da. It's so that we can see it's possible. We could see the possibilities with God. Do you ever think of God as we think, oh God, we're yours, but God is ours. You are my God. You're mine. I mean, maybe that's going to take some time to just meditate. I mean, meditate on that this week. Pray over that. Fast over it. And if you don't know how to fast, ask our kids. They know now. But fast over that reality, because when you get that, but I really envisioned a lot more jumping up and down and clapping and fist pumping when we talk about that. My God. And I mean, because this week, reading through that, I was like, that is exciting. That's what I thought. I said, that's exciting. You're mine. He says, you're my God. And the more, and he talks about, and as he goes through that, he says, you know, the more that I experience you, the more that I want to experience you. The more that I know you, the more I want to know you. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to know more of God? I mean, I'm not going to tell you anything about the Bible today that you probably haven't already read 10 or 15 times. But I just want to challenge, do you want to know more of God? Do you feast on Him on a Sunday morning and go home thirsting and starving for more? And not in an insufficient kind of a way, but in a way that man, that was so good. I want more of that. I want, it's like one of those meals that you eat and it's like, oh, I wish I weren't so full so I could eat more. Jamie, give me a fist bump, right? Yes. I was, you know, man, I can't wait till I'm hungry again because I want to eat more of that. I can't wait till this sick feeling of overfull goes away because that was so good. I want to eat more. You ever eaten something and then you're so full and it was so good and you go back and you get seconds way too soon or thirds and you're like, why did I eat that? Wasn't even hungry. I was still uncomfortable from the first plate. Am I the only one who's that way? No. Oh my goodness, I'm out of buttons to undo. It's like, yeah, but just take them off. Get my sweatpants on. Because I'm fat. But do we leave here? Do we want more of, do you want more of God? If you don't, you don't know Him well. If you don't, you either you don't know Him or you don't know Him well. And I'm not preaching against you. I'm saying, please, please, move beyond believing in Him and have a relationship with Him. Because reality strikes in and it's time to be honest. It's time to have one of those Micah 6 and 8 kind of moments. Just write that Micah 6, 8. The Old Testament minor prophet. It's that time to be honest and say, what, you know, do you know God? Do you do what He requires of you? And you think, well, yeah, Shane, but you said being a good person and all that. You know, it's not keeping the law that we have conceived of Him. But Micah 6 and 8 boils it down. He says, do we act justly? Do we love mercy? Do we walk humbly? Because that's knowing God. That's having an intimate relationship. Wanting more is acting towards one another justly, loving justice. And I'm telling you, there's a few sermons that we have. I'm not sure if I'm going to fit them in before Austin or after Austin, but they're about the justice of God. And I'm telling you, the concept of God's justice is exciting. Now, we might be thinking, oh, justice. I don't want justice. I want mercy. No. The concept of the justness of God is an exciting concept to me. It's deeper than I've ever known it to be. So what holds you back from belief turning into knowing? What holds you back from wanting more? Is there something, are we ashamed of a past? Do we think it's just not possible because of what we've done? Are we ashamed of where we've been and thinking that, you know, I'm damaged goods. I haven't given Him enough and I've said that I did and I believed and I've settled for that and there's really nowhere I can go. I'm ashamed of what I've said, what I've done. Is that a roadblock? Are we ashamed of our present? Are we involved in sin? Or are we, just so lukewarm that we know that God has spit us out of His mouth? Are we just, is right now the problem? Because God is saying, look, you know, the past is what it is, and I can take that and make it something wonderful for you to build upon a relationship with me. And whatever we're in right now, God's saying, look, I can make today brand spanking new. Or the last thing is, are you comfortable at arm's length? See, here's this honesty part coming in. I mean, we all believe in God. I mean, that's why we're here, right? Some part of us believes that God is real. I mean, okay. But do we know Him? Or do we know Him well, do we know Him a little but not well? Or are we in this intimate relationship with God? And if we're not, then, you know, we can say, well, you know, I haven't really been that great of a person and I don't think God loves me. I mean, but you know that's not true. People who say that know it's not true even before it's out of their mouth. There's excuses that we all come up with. And you think, well, I'm in this right now. But the reality is number three is the difficult, because it's more comfortable to keep God at arm's length. Because out there, He can't change much. Out there, He, you know, at arm's length, He can't pry my hands off of more and more of this place. Out there, he can't really call the shots for me so that other people can be more important in my life than they are now. Because that's what knowing God is, and knowing God intimately is all about. It's about allowing Him in to take control. Not just believing and having everything on the outside look like it's supposed to look, but having God on the inside wreaking havoc with the humanity and the brokenness, and changing us in such a way that not only is it uncomfortable for us to be around us, but it's uncomfortable for the world to be around us, thus making us more uncomfortable and needing Him more and more. See, that's what David's talking about. But at arm's length, we keep things tidy. We keep things neat. And we keep things on our terms. See, the problem with reading books written by what I consider to be spiritual giants is that they've been through all this and they write it in such a way that I can't hide from it anymore. And I'm forced to make a decision. Either change or continue to lie. So I will warn you that if you want to write down some titles, especially the Christian Atheist book, and if you want to write down some titles, not a fan of others, and read them, be careful, because you run the risk of messing up a very good and comfortable thing that you've got here and having God ruin a perfectly acceptable arm's length relationship. This morning, we can either keep God at arm's length. And I'm convinced that each one of us here today have some area of our life that God is at arm's length. That we believe in Him, but we don't know Him. Whatever that is, whether it's in the past, it's in the present, or just being honest and saying, I just don't want God to mess up a good thing that I got going here. Whatever that is, can we move beyond just simple belief and get to know God? If you need to confess Him as Lord and Savior, if you need to be baptized, if you, whatever your need is this morning, if you want to make that radical first step, that unexplainable to the world first step of saying, Jesus, You are my Lord and Savior. Not only my Savior, but my Lord. And I want Your baptism to cleanse me so that I can live this Holy Spirit-filled life. Whatever your need is, wherever you need to know God intimately, would you let us know as together we stand and as we sing?